You're listening to the Kribo Shoe Podcast, episode 57, Fire Emblem Three Houses. Welcome back to another episode of the Kribo Shoe Podcast. I'm your host, Brandon. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Chad, is here.
Hello, everyone.
And that's not all. We have a special guest, Tristan from the Cooper Cosmic YouTube channel is here. How's it going, man?
Going good, man. Good to be back.
Awesome. Yeah, so we're happy to have you on here, especially because you seem like you're really into this Fire Emblem Three Houses, so we're going to definitely lean on your knowledge here for this episode.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and get right on into it. Let's go ahead and start off by what we've been playing. So, Tristan, what have you been up to lately?
Well, of course, I've been playing Fire Emblem Three Houses, and then I've been playing some Super Smash Bros. Ultimate with the new Hero DLC.
Awesome.
And then I've been playing some Pokemon Go.
Pokemon Go. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
I've noticed you have been growing in levels quite a bit.
Oh, yeah. I leveled up a lot just recently.
That's awesome. Oh,
cool. Awesome. What about you, Chad?
Fire Emblem Three Houses right now is the only thing I want to play.
The be-all, end-all with you.
It is. I did beat Ultimate Alliance 3, and I played a little bit of Smash, but not much. Mostly all Fire Emblem.
Okay. So, yeah. Talking about Ultimate Alliance 3, how do you feel about it once you beat it? Are you?
I really, really enjoyed it and everything, but in my opinion, first and second one are definitely better games.
You know, I haven't beat it yet, but I have been playing it the past week and a half, and I do really enjoy it, but I'm with you. It just doesn't have quite the same feel as the first two.
It really does not.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, trying out that DLC, and Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. I've just been playing that as when I can, but mostly Fire Emblem.
Gotcha.
So what about any pickups here lately? Tristan, you picked anything up?
Yeah, seems like Best Buy has restocked some Amiibo, so I got a Dr. Mario.
Oh, wow, awesome.
And then I also just today picked up Mario Party 7 from the GameCube.
Oh, probably not a Best Buy.
No, not a Best Buy.
Cool. So speaking of Dr. Mario, have you been playing Dr. Mario World at all on the smartphone?
Have not got to it yet. Okay. No, I don't play a lot of smartphone games.
I was curious what you might have thought. Chad seems to like it. I do not, so I was wondering.
Something I need to get to.
Choose a side.
Yeah. Choose a house.
What about you, Chad? Picked anything interesting up?
So I did cough up the extra money, and I got the Fire Emblem Three Houses Seasons of Warfare Edition, the big box.
I'm very jealous.
I always got to get these big boxes. I actually did pick this up day one. I didn't get Fire Emblem, a regular copy, later, though.
Okay.
So it's still sealed.
Oh, okay. So you haven't opened it up yet. What all did it come with? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I do not. I can't remember.
A bunch of stuff.
It came with a bunch of stuff.
Okay.
I believe some pins and...
Well, let's just open it up right here on the show.
Well, final thing I got was a Mega Yarn Yoshi Amiibo. I finally have secured me one.
Oh, wow.
Went to our local video game store. They had one brand new, steel sealed, had the stickers on the side, never been opened.
So let's unbox that as well.
Yeah, of course, at an upsell, but I had no problem coughing up the money.
Cool, man. Yeah, I missed out buying this when it was released. Yeah. I remember seeing it at Toys R Us and just passing it by, and
Same here.
Kind of regret that.
I'm getting very close to completing that Amiibo collection.
Yeah, you're very close, aren't you? You're probably lacking, less than 20 or 15?
Oh, yeah, somewhere in there, yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Impressive.
How about you?
Well, so since we last recorded, I picked up the Smash Amiibo, the latest release of Pichu, Pokemon Trainer, and Isabelle.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
sure we probably all picked those up.
Right.
Of those three, I really like the Pokemon Trainer. I think he looks pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, I have to agree with you. Pokemon Trainer is definitely the best.
And then also, I haven't picked it up yet, but I kickstarted it. So Genki, the company that made the wireless headphone adapter for that fits in the bottom of the Switch, so you can like use your AirPods or whatever Bluetooth headphones you have.
Right.
So I've had that. I kickstarted it, and I love it. Use it all the time. And they have a new product out on Kickstarter called the Covert Dock. And basically what this is it's about the size of just the power brick for the Switch, and it has everything included. So it has an HDMI cord, USB outlet, so you can basically use this as a portable dock. It fits in your pocket. And I was very interested in this and got in on the early bird pricing, and it's supposed to be released this winter. So I'm excited about trying that out.
We'll have to check that out.
Yeah. And that's pretty much it for me. So let's go ahead and move on into the news. There's a lot of news to get caught up on. Of course, we've missed a week, so it's been a little while since we've had an episode. And first off, I just have that, hey, Nintendo Switch Lite pre-orders have went live. And my question to you is, did any of y'all pre-order?
No, I have not yet.
I have.
Me too. Which one did you pre-order?
I had to get the Pokemon Edition. I saw where they'd came up on Amazon and somewhere else, but I waited till Best Buy put theirs up, and I got it from there.
Yeah, I pre-ordered it at Target because that was the first thing I saw, but it wasn't going to let me pick it up in store. So once Best Buy came up, I canceled the Target and got with Best Buy. So gotcha. I should be able to pick it up on release day.
Very cool.
If I get any of them, that would be the one I get, the Pokemon.
Yeah, will I use it? I'm not sure, but I just really want to have it.
I really want to unbox it and take a look at it.
Oh, me too.
Just feel it, see if it's something I'm even interested in. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So, yep. Okay, cool. 2 out of 3. That's not bad. Tristan, you need to get on this.
I'm slacking.
Of course, we have some big updates to some popular Switch games. So first of all, Splatoon 2, their 5.0 update went live a week or two ago. And now you can have Splatfest, your own special Splatfest in private battles now. So if you got a group of friends that you play with Splatoon with online, you can actually run your own Splatfest. So that's pretty cool. You can choose from all the night mode of the stages and all the ink colors, all the shifty stations. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah, we'll have to get some more of our friends back into Splatoon so we can get a Splatfest team together.
I agree. That's the one thing about this. I wish there was, even if it was just maybe once a month or something, I wish they would have this as like a mode online that you could play.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to have a bunch of friends you knew personally to play the private battle, but still cool nonetheless. A Splatfest T replica has been added to the game, so once you update your game and launch into it, it's just there in the square, and it's pretty cool because it has the 2X ability chunk on it.
Right, yeah, I was reading about that. That's really cool that they're adding this as some equipable gear here.
Yeah, so Splatoon 2, even though the updates may be, the Splatfest may be done, it lives on, and then they give it one last big update here at the end.
Yes.
Also, big update came to Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. As Tristan's already mentioned, been playing it. The hero has been added. So we got our, what is this now? Our third DLC character after Piranha Plant and Joker.
Right.
So this was the one for the summer. And I'll have to say, I think we both said it on this podcast before, I wasn't super excited because it seemed like just another generic swordsman. Mm-hmm. Even the name is generic, the hero.
Yeah.
But this character actually plays quite a bit differently than I was expecting. And I think he's kind of neat. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, actually. I mean, all his different abilities he can do, which it kind of randomly pops up.
Yeah, but, the down B.
Yeah, it can really mix up the battle a little bit.
Yeah, I actually don't mind playing as him. I feel like I don't really know exactly what I'm doing with everything, but it is pretty cool. You have to watch those. He has like magic points, and if you run out of those, he can't do some of the moves, so you kind of got to keep an eye on that. But
A
pretty unique character for sure.
Yeah.
Right, he's good at, I've noticed, on both range and up close and personal. So
yeah.
He's a little bit different than most of your standard sword fighters on there. I prefer him to most of the other sword fighters.
Yeah, me too.
Sure.
Yeah, so, and I do like that his alternate costumes are basically, at least four of them are basically like reskins of the whole character from different
really cool.
Dragon Quest games, so that's cool.
So will you be, I think the Heroes Dragon Quest game will be coming to Switch. I think it's Dragon Quest 11.
That's coming out, I think, in September.
It's coming up pretty soon. Yeah. Has this changed your mind on maybe picking this up?
I doubtful.
Doubtful.
I don't have room in my life for long games, and I still picked up Fire Emblem,
yeah.
So I don't think I can go any further into a deep game like
for
that.
For sure, right.
But I'm happy it's coming to the Switch.
Oh, yeah.
So, of course, alongside that, the 4.0 Smash update came out, and that added a few different things. So first of all, they've added a very easy difficulty to the adventure mode, which is cool because, you know, that's a very long, extremely lengthy campaign, and if there's someone that's struggling with it, it's cool that there's at least an option to make it, like, super easy to get through it.
Right.
And of course, they added some new spirits. I think a lot of them were from the Dragon Quest series, Dragon Warrior series. So that's always nice. And then they've also changed up the, if you play with the final Smash meter, like the super meter that builds at the bottom is an option of one way to play. And they've changed that to where it no longer, if you build it all the way up, it no longer lasts forever. It will deplete if you don't use it quickly enough. So kind of a change if you like to play that way. I personally do like playing with the Final Smash meter sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of neat. Reminds me kind of like the Marvel versus Capcom super meters and stuff. It's kind of neat.
I am glad that they added the time limit to use it, though.
Yeah.
Because people, at least when I play a lot of people hold on to it
for a long time.
So it makes it a little more fair, I think.
True, true. Yeah, no, it seems like a good change. And then they've also added online tournaments. They say up to 64 players. I have not tried this yet. I haven't actually played online in a while. I don't know if it's gotten any better as far as lag-wise or not, but cool that they're adding like tournaments and stuff to it.
Yeah, same here. I'm not sure if it's still laggy or not, but yeah, I'd love to check out a tournament one day.
Yeah, so, I mean, Smash just continues to get really good support from Nintendo. I enjoy getting these characters. Of course, we all have the Fighter's Pass, I think.
Oh, yes.
But I really cannot wait till the fall with for the next DLC character, which, of course, is going to be Banjo and Kazooie. That's going to be
that?
Awesome.
No. Give me the hero.
One more thing I forgot to mention as far as the hero, there's a new stage for him as well. I think it's pretty neat.
Yes.
It kind of like flies through the world.
Yeah, I do like it, yeah.
I think it's my favorite map right now.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
So I definitely didn't want to forget that. We also got some more news on Pokemon Sword and Shield. This wasn't like a direct. It wasn't even like a mini direct. It's like they just like had a video and like just kind of released the news on Twitter, it seemed like. But there are some new Pokemon they've announced and like new forms of previous Pokemon. They're calling them the Galarian forms. We saw like a Galarian Weezing and a Galarian Zigzagoon and its evolved forms of Linoon and Obstagoon, which a lot of people have pointed out these kind of look like the members of like Kiss, the band.
Oh, yeah.
And when you kind of look at it, it does kind of seem like, and it seems like I think I saw that the leader, Gene Simmons of Kiss, like kind of gave it his approval. He was asked about it, so that's kind of cool.
I saw that. That was really cool. Obstagoon's totally new. He just looks like a beast.
And yeah.
It's really cool looking. Are you a Kiss fan?
Not personally, but I think it's cool that they're kind of having like an homage to them.
Yeah, so. I do too. They were way before my time, but yeah. I think it's neat.
The Galarian Weezing is kind of cool. It's got like a top hat and like a mustache. And I don't know. It's kind of neat.
Yeah, it's different.
We also got a look at an all new Pokemon. This to me is kind of almost like the mascot of this game, kind of like Pikachu was for Gen 1. It's I think his name is Morpeko. I may be saying that wrong, but he's a cute little guy. It looks actually a lot like Pikachu. I think he's sort of like a mouse type Pokemon, but he has like two different looks and modes to him. So normally he's in full belly mode and he's just a happy little cute cuddly Pokemon. But he also has a hangry mode when he's like, I'm assuming hungry, and he turns all purple and evil looking, and it's very strange. That's all I can say.
His mouth kind of looks like an upside down Gengar.
Yeah.
Gengar's mouth.
Definitely
yeah.
Gengar vibes from hangry yes. mode. What do you think about this, Tristan?
Oh, man. I mean, I'm looking forward to the game, though, just getting into it.
Yeah.
I haven't kept up too much with the news on it. Kind of want you to be more surprised with it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so. Gotcha.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good.
Cover your ears for the next couple of minutes.
Yeah.
No, we also got to look at a couple of the rivals. Again, maybe saying this wrong, Bede or BD, BDE and Marnie. And also, we got a kind of our new gang for this game. It's Team Yell. So we've had Team Skull and Sun Moon. Now it's Team Yell. They seem to be big fans of the rival and kind of are doing whatever it takes to make sure the rival is the very best at the end.
They have all these Kiss Pokemon with them. It seems to be their main Pokemon.
Right,
here.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I think we also got some news about, like, you're going to be able to send your Pokemon out for, like, different jobs and, like, assign them to different jobs and they'll, like, level up and grow based on that. So that's kind of a cool feature.
Yeah. That'd be neat.
Yeah. Moving on, I think you put this on here, Chad, and I actually missed this, but we've got a new Joy-Con set has been announced, but it's sort of new.
Sort of.
Best Buy exclusive. It's a neon green Joy-Con set. So this is the first time you've been able to buy one package with both left and right green Joy-Cons.
Right.
So
I don't know if that's
pretty neat.
That was always the Splatoon colors. I don't know if the pink one is on the way, but this is a Best Buy exclusive for now. It's up for pre-order. So if you don't have these neon green ones, maybe time to get them.
Yeah. I think this is really cool, especially if you've wanted double greens and didn't want to like go to the hassle of buying two different Joy-Con sets.
Right.
I would just love for them to release some of the other ones and for standalone, like some of like the special Mario and Diablo and Pokemon ones.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome if they'd sell those standalone.
Mm-hmm.
I've already got these two greens because I was the sucker that bought both sets of the Splatoons. But this is cool if you're looking to pick these up.
For sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when those were coming out? I think I saw something like September, maybe.
Oh, I do not remember.
Okay. Well, you can pre-order them now.
Yeah, I should have looked at that.
We also got, I thought this was pretty interesting. So this came from user Link83 on the Reset Era forums, I think is who originally spotted this. But there's been a new FCC filing by Nintendo for what looks like a wireless SNES controller. And it's just the picture that they sent to the FCC is just the back of the controller. But this is a Super Nintendo controller, right, guys? That's what it looks like to me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited because, I mean, to me, this means probably a SNES classic series on the Switch, kind of like the NES.
Oh, yeah.
And these will probably be a Nintendo Switch Online exclusive that you can buy through the website, just like the NES ones.
That's what I would think, yeah.
If so, would you guys pick these up?
100%.
Oh, yeah. I'd definitely go for it.
And I would love to see Super Nintendo games come to the Switch. That would be great.
Oh, and I'm sure that they'll clip onto the side of your Switch and look awesome, like yes. The NES controllers do.
I, for one, will be rocking a left NES, right SNES.
Online. Yes. Yeah.
Moving along, so Game Freak has trademarked the title Little Town Hero. And, of course, we know they've got that RPG in the works that was called Town, which was a working title. This seems very obvious that that's what this game's going to be actually called.
Right.
So, I don't know. I'm excited about this. I mean, I always like to see Game Freak try something different besides just more Pokemon games. So, mm-hmm. I'm definitely interested in this whenever it comes out.
For sure, yeah. I had to see a little bit more about it and everything, but it's definitely on my radar.
Yeah. Also, if you have not picked up Cadence of Hyrule, Crypt of the NecroDancer featuring The Legend of Zelda, which again is one of the longest titles on the Switch, yeah. I'm sure. There's now a free demo. So if you haven't picked this up and you want to, it is one of the pricier games on the eShop. So there's a demo now for you to try. I wish this would have been out from the start because oh, yeah. I would have downloaded this free demo, realized the game wasn't for me, and saved myself like $30. Yeah. It is what yeah, it is. It is a cool game.
Yeah.
I just am terrible at it.
Yeah, it's fun to get on, but I'm kind of lost on where to go right
yeah,
now. It's
yeah.
like...
I need more direction.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's cool if there's a demo now. Like I said, try that definitely. It is very different than any other Legend of Zelda game, so definitely before dropping the money, try the demo. And then Shantae 5, which has been announced, now has, it looks like, an official title as well. It's going to be called Shantae and the Seven Sirens.
So we have the title, but we do not have a release date, a price, or any new trailer for it.
Okay, so yeah, still very little known about this, but
all that we have.
The Shantae games are very well regarded, all the way from the Game Boy Color original to now, so
right.
Definitely interested in this, but want to know more.
For sure.
And then lastly, this came out just very recently, right before we recorded, but looks like E-League and Nintendo are partnering. I'm just kind of reading this press release. They're partnering to showcase high-level players and exciting competitive moments through a three-episode E-League television series focused on three tournaments held in Los Angeles starting in June 2019. They're presenting the Nintendo 2019 World Championships set to premiere Sunday, August 25th. At 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS, it will take fans backstage and behind the controller with professional players as they compete across three Nintendo Switch video games, Super Mario Maker 2, Splatoon 2, and Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. The series will feature teams from around the world, including Japan, United States, Europe, and Australian/New Zealand. Additional episodes will be featured Saturday, September 7th, and Saturday, September 14th, all on CBS. So it looks like we're getting another Nintendo World Championships. This is the first I'd heard about it, was this announcement.
Yeah, same here.
I remember they did this, three or four years ago, maybe, and it was very entertaining. I remember really enjoying it, so I'm excited to see what this is all about. And that's going to kind of do it for the news. Let's hit some recent releases or upcoming releases. So we've got on August the 6th, DC Universe Online was released onto the Nintendo Switch. I think this is a pretty long-running MMO. Mm-hmm. I remember this being on like the PlayStation 3, I'm pretty sure. Either.
Yeah, I played it back then too.
Okay, awesome. So what do you think about it? You think it's still relevant today?
Man, I don't know how much they've added much. It's been a long time since I've played it.
Okay.
So it was pretty enjoyable, but I didn't make it too far through the game.
Okay.
I've played it a little bit on the PS3, and I dropped off really quick. They said that with the new Switch version, you're not playing with any other players except Nintendo Switch online members and everything.
Oh, really? Wow.
So you don't play against any PlayStation 5, Xbox, none of that. Hmm. Or PlayStation 4, excuse me.
Okay.
Getting ahead of myself. I was like, man,
yeah. Where'd you get that 5 at?
Yeah. Yeah,
tell us more. But I think this is free to play, right?
Yeah.
So you can try it out if you want.
Totally free to download. It does take up like half of your Switch, like 16 gigs to get this thing downloaded.
Yeah, those MMOs are huge.
It's a huge download. So I've got it for now, but I'll probably delete it.
Yeah. I think I also heard that you can play this without a Nintendo Switch Online subscription, like Fortnite, since it's a free game so that's very cool. Then we've got Rad coming out on August the 20th. That's that game by Double Fine that we saw at the Nindies presentation.
Is that the mutation game, kind
of? The mutation game, exactly. And then Astral Chain comes out August 30th. That's not that far away. And I've seen that it looks like some news outlets and stuff are getting this game. And so far, I've heard pretty good things about it. So I'm very excited to see reviews and stuff on this game.
And Platinum is taking care of this game, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So I've definitely been thinking about this game. And as long as the reviews are halfway decent, I plan on picking it up.
Yeah. How about you, Tristan?
I may try them. There's a lot of games coming out at the end of this
definitely,
year.
Definitely, yeah.
So many
it's
things
getting
to play.
Insane, yeah.
It's more of the question of if I have time to play them.
But definitely, I'm definitely wanting to see some reviews. I mean, if this thing is like 8s, 9s, I'm definitely probably going to pick it up. Mm-hmm. So, cool. Well, that's pretty much it for the news and everything else. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we're going to have a look back at Diddy Kong Racing. So for this episode, we wanted to have another look back, and I decided to do it this time. Chad's done, I think, the last two for us. And I wanted to look back at a game I absolutely loved as a kid on the Nintendo 64, and that is Diddy Kong Racing. So it was released back on November 24th, 1997, like I said, for the Nintendo 64. This was about a year and a half or so, I think, after Mario Kart 64, so it definitely came afterwards. Rare had demoed this game to Shigeru Miyamoto in June 1997. He approved of it and suggested that the game should feature Diddy Kong. It didn't at the time. The development team initially hated the idea, but eventually agreed with Miyamoto's suggestion, as featuring Diddy Kong brought stronger marketing from Nintendo and greater visibility to the game due to the popularity of the Donkey Kong brand. Of course, at this time, Donkey Kong was pretty huge with the Donkey Kong Country series on the Super Nintendo. And it had some unique features in this game compared to like Mario Kart at the time. So most notably, it had three different types of vehicles you could use. There was cars, hovercrafts, and planes that you could choose, as well as it had a full story mode, which definitely had never been in a Mario Kart at that point. The game itself is set on Timber the Tiger's Island, who is a driver in this game, and it revolves around Diddy Kong and his friend's attempt to defeat the intergalactic antagonist, a wizarding pig named Whiz Pig. It's a very clever name.
Oh, yeah.
And they had to do this by winning a series of races against him, and this was in the adventure mode. This was the story. So there are 10 racers in this game to choose from, which Mario Kart at the time, 64, I only had 8. So it was an upgrade, but two of them were unlockable. So you have the full roster is, of course, Diddy Kong, Tip Tup the Turtle, Pipsy the Mouse, Bumper the Badger, Conker the Squirrel, Timber the Tiger, Banjo the Bear, Crunch the Kremling, Drumstick the Chicken, and TT the Stopwatch. The last two, of course, were the unlockable characters. So there's some characters on here you've probably never heard of, but there are probably a few that sound familiar to you. We, of course, know that after this game, Banjo, of course, went on to star in Banjo-Kazooie, and we're, you know, still going to see him in Smash this fall. And also Conker the Squirrel got a couple of games, got Conker's Bad Fur Day on the Nintendo 64, as well as Conker's Pocket Tales on the Game Boy Color. So some of these characters did go on to bigger and better things. Some have been just this game only, basically. But I was a Tip Tup the Turtle guy myself. Tristan, did you have a favorite character in this game?
I just play Diddy Kong most of the time.
Okay. And Chad, do you have much experience with this game?
I don't have hardly any experience with this game, so I'm learning a lot today.
All right. So there are 20 racetracks in this game. They're spread across 5 different cups. Most of the courses allow you to choose any of the 3 different vehicle types, although on some, there are vehicles not able to be used. Each course does have a recommended vehicle type, however, and each vehicle, of course, has its pros and its cons, so we'll run through those real quick. So, of course, the car, the standard cart, it's simple to control and it can drift, but it slows down off-road, and in water, it slows down to an absolute crawl. So, you know, that was its pluses and minuses. The hovercraft has really slippery controls, requiring players to hop to turn. It is not affected by going off-road, however, and it can go over water and lava without losing speed. So this one is definitely the most squirrely of all the vehicles. It's very hard to get a handle on, but once you do, it's actually really, really good.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, you have the plane, which to me was the most exciting one because you're flying around. And it can fly over any terrain, of course, and you can turn very sharply and perform stunts as well in it. But the con is if you bump into any obstacle or you're hit by an item, an enemy's weapon, it's going to lose a lot of speed, fall to the ground, and those hits are more costly in the plane than they would be on a car or a hovercraft. So, Tristan, which of these was your go-to? I
actually played a lot of the hovercraft.
Yeah, the hovercraft is awesome once you get used to it. Yeah, it's probably the hardest to learn.
Yeah, but once you get a hold of it, it's really good.
Yeah, I agree. Of course, this game has power-ups and weapons just like any kart racer should. These are found in weapon balloons throughout each course. Now, there are 5 different items you can get depending on the color of the balloon. So instead of like the random item boxes in Mario Kart, you could know, hey, if I want this certain item, I need this color of balloon. Also, in a different approach in Mario Kart, you can upgrade your item by going through the same color balloon 2 times, up to 2 times. So you can go through a red balloon, then another red balloon, then another red balloon, and each one will give you an upgrade on your power-up. So, for instance, if you got like the red balloon, I think was just like a standard missile. Basically, the equivalent would be a green shell in Mario Kart. If you got 2 red balloons, it would become a homing missile, basically a red shell. And if you got 3, it would be like 10 regular missiles. So it was like, there was strategy in the holding on an item until you could get an upgrade. So it made a very different feeling than Mario Kart. You could also pick up bananas throughout the course to upgrade your top speed, kind of like coins in Mario Kart, with topping out at 10 bananas would be the top speed you could reach. There are also zippers on each track, which can give you a speed boost if you drive over them or through them. So there were zippers up in the sky for the planes or on the water. There'd be like a circular zipper you could drive through in the hovercraft. The game also features 4 battle modes, which consist of 2 deathmatch maps, a capture the flag style battle, and a mode which involves opponents capturing eggs. Now, I don't know very much about the battle mode because I never played it. I always played single player, and if I was playing a battle mode, I played Mario Kart 64. Yeah, did you play much of the battle mode?
I remember playing the capture the eggs a lot.
Okay,
so cool. Me and my sister played that most of the time.
Okay, so yeah, at this time, as far as Mario Kart, you were still on just the standard balloon battle was the only mode. We didn't get new modes in Mario Kart until the GameCube, so it was cool if this had a few different modes.
Yeah.
There were also magic codes that you could enter to change the game. This was definitely different than any Mario Kart game. So you could, for instance, put in a code and have large characters, change all the weapon balloons to the color of your choice. You could. This was the coolest one to me. There was a code that would allow 2 people to play. There was one that allowed 2 people to play as the same character at once. So if both of you wanted to play Tip Top, you could. But my favorite one was the one that allowed 2 players to play through the adventure mode together, which wasn't an option, just standard in the game without a code. But you could do this, and it's basically a co-op adventure mode, and you would just take turn on the bosses. So that was really cool to me.
Cool.
Yeah. The music in this game was also excellent. It was composed by David Wise, who did the music for Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo, which is like one of the best soundtracks of any Super Nintendo game, in my opinion. He also did Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, which also has excellent music. The music in this game is very catchy. I'll try to insert some into this podcast. But yeah, it's a great soundtrack. The game has sold 4.8 million copies since release and stands as the Nintendo 64's 8th best-selling game. So this is the top 10 selling game here.
Wow.
Yeah, which I didn't know that. Yeah, I knew it was popular, but I would have thought it sold like 2 million or something at tops. But yeah, 4.8 is not bad.
That's good.
The game was supposed to have had at least two different sequels that I was able to find. So Diddy Kong Pilot was going to be Planes Only, but it's coming to the Game Boy Advance. But it was canceled when Rare moved over to Microsoft in 2002. It was eventually replaced by Banjo Pilot, which was an indirect sequel to Diddy Kong Racing. I've never played this game. I would actually love to get a copy of it and try it out. I can't imagine it's just like great on the Game Boy Advance, but I would love to actually try it out.
Oh, yeah.
Donkey Kong Racing was planned for release on the Nintendo GameCube. This game was also canceled due to Rare's move to Microsoft. And this game, we were talking about earlier, this game seemed really cool. I remember seeing a trailer for this before the GameCube came out. It was like Donkey Kong racing through like a forest, and he was riding on the ostrich, and it looked like all the characters would be riding on different animals instead of like cars or hovercrafts. And I think it would have been a really actually like breath of fresh air in the racing genre, but we never got to see it, unfortunately.
Man, that would have been cool to play.
Yeah, definitely. A remake of Diddy Kong Racing did come out on the Nintendo DS called Diddy Kong Racing DS. Although it's a remake, it features more characters, tracks, and some different challenges. It had, I think, a track editor that you can make your own tracks.
Yeah.
And some music had also been changed. I bought this game, but did not play it much. Do you remember much about the DS version, Tristan?
I played a good bit. It was a long time ago, though.
Yeah.
I have misplaced what the cartridge is, so I can't play it anymore. I've been looking for it, but I cannot find it. But
okay. Yeah, so, but that's definitely probably the easier way to play it now, because that cartridge, of course, would play on like a 3DS or a 2DS.
Yeah.
So that's probably the easiest way to play it if you don't have a Nintendo 64, because unfortunately with this game being kind of tied up with Nintendo and Rare, it's never been released like on Virtual Console.
Yeah, I'd love to see it come up again.
I would too. You know, now that Nintendo and Microsoft are kind of buddy-buddy, more so than ever, maybe we have a chance of this, but I just don't know. I mean, Mario Kart's so much bigger now than it was even then. I don't know if they want to really mess with a different kart racing game.
And then they've added Crash recently, Crash Racing, so.
Yeah, so. But, going back to the Diddy Kong DS, of course, due to Rare's acquisition by Microsoft, Banjo and Conker were replaced in this game by Dixie Kong and Tiny Kong. Although Tip-Top was kept in the game despite his appearances in several Banjo-Kazooie games. So while developed by Rare, the original game is almost entirely owned by Nintendo, save for everything related to Banjo and Conker, thereby allowing the game to be re-released alongside Microsoft not currently participating in the handheld gaming market. So I thought that was interesting that Nintendo actually owns most of this game, but Banjo and Conker, which besides Diddy would be the two biggest characters in the game, are owned by Microsoft. So,
yeah,
pretty crazy. So, yeah, that's Diddy Kong Racing. I absolutely loved this game as a kid. It had a little more variety than Mario Kart. And when I mostly played single player at that time, and like I would get tired of Mario Kart 64, but there was like, I don't know, there was just more to Diddy Kong Racing. So, like, actually, in everything but the battle mode, I prefer Diddy Kong Racing over Mario Kart 64 myself.
Yeah, I'd say I did too. I really enjoyed doing the adventure mode on there.
Yeah, it was really cool.
All that.
And, I mean, we see that now in a lot of kart racing games, that there are adventure modes. I know Crash has it, for instance. But to me, this was the first instance of that in a kart racer, having, like, a single-player story.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
And then having the three different vehicles to choose from.
Yeah.
I feel like it added a lot to me that I really enjoyed.
Yeah, I remember specifically even in like the track design too. Like I remember there was one of the winter stages had like a loop-de-loop, and I thought it was so cool because I've never seen anything like that. Now in like Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, you've got crazy courses, but back in the 64 days, the courses were very like bland and generic.
Yeah.
And so Diddy Kong, they'd seem to do a little bit more with them.
Yeah, I'd like to find a copy of the N64 version again.
Right. Chad?
Well, it sounds like
we sold you on this game?
Yeah.
I'm going to get it now. I'm done. Yeah, awesome. sounds like I really missed out on this game, but I would like to try it again. I think I would like to try it on the DS.
Yeah.
Too.
It was a little before your time. I think you kind of got started with the GameCube your home console and stuff. But this is a really good game, and I played it not too long ago. It does still hold up. I really do think it does.
Okay.
Also, if you... I didn't find this out until much later after I had the game, but if you need a little extra speed, just hammer the gas button instead of just holding it, and you will gain speed. You can win a lot of races that way. So there, just a 20-year-old tip for all our Karibo Tree listeners. There. Yes.
I remember that when I need a speed run.
Yeah, if you're entering any Diddy Kong Racing tournaments in your area, that's a good tip.
There you go.
All right, so that's going to do it for this look back. We're going to take another quick break, and when we return, we'll get to our main topic, and that's Fire Emblem Three Houses. So main topic time, we're going to be talking all about Fire Emblem Three Houses. We're going to try to keep this relatively spoiler free, but we will of course at least have to talk about, you know, the first 5 or 6 hours of the game to really talk about it at all. But then this is a game we all three have picked up. I think I've played it actually the least. Tristan, I think, has gotten the furthest. How many hours would you say you're into it?
I think I'm just about at 50 hours.
Oh, wow. So, very good.
I'm pretty good into it.
And from everything I hear, this is like a 80-hour-ish campaign, perhaps?
Yeah, so I'm a little past halfway.
Yeah.
Really.
How about you, Chad?
I believe I'm at 4.5 hours.
Yeah, I'm probably at like 2 or 3. So me and Chad got in on this pretty late. I said multiple times, including on the show, would not be picking this up, but it got like incredibly good reviews.
Yeah, finally gave in.
Got it at Walmart for $50. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same here.
Okay, so this game, to me, it sounds like, and again, I've not played many Fire Emblem games, but it sounds like this is kind of a different approach to a Fire Emblem game. You take the role of a new professor at the prestigious Officer's Academy. So you're at this big monastery, it's a church, it's a school, and I get huge, like, Harry Potter vibes from this setting. How about you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Especially, like, the dining hall. It's, like, these long tables, chandeliers, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really the feeling I get. It's really kind of cool.
Yeah, if you like Harry Potter, you'll probably like this game.
Yeah. So, there are a couple of different ways you can play this game. There's a couple of different difficulty modes, and then there's also, do you want to play this casual or classic? And this is basically, like, if you play it on casual, you can have some people in your party die in a battle, but then once the battle's over, they'll return, you know, come back to life. Mm-hmm. Classic mode, it's like permadeath. Someone dies, they're gone forever. And that's kind of scary in something like an 80-hour game to me. So I'm playing on casual. How about you guys?
I chose casual as well because I wasn't really sure what the difference was. And casual was at the top. So I
figured I would just kill all my favorite characters.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So when I got it, because I've never played a Fire Emblem game until this one.
Okay.
So I wasn't too sure how I was going to feel about the story. So I actually went with the classic mode where permadeath is on. When I got about a few hours into the game, I was like, oh, I made a mistake. I do like these characters. But, yeah, so far, like I said, I'm about 50 hours in, and I have not killed a character yet.
Wow, so very impressive.
I have taken my time on it, though.
Like I said, I'm 3 hours in. I have killed one person already, so... I should mention, not only am I not played a Fire Emblem game, but, like, I've never really played, like, a strategy game like this, so, like, I'm really bad at this game, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it so far, Chad? You're not really into the whole strategy stuff either.
Yeah, so much, no, so. I think this is the first Fire Emblem game that I've really sat down and played too. It's as far as putting this many hours into it, especially.
Yeah.
So far, it's that's the only game I've been playing. That's the only game I want to play right now. I come home from work and I'm just ready to play some Fire Emblem. That's all I can think about.
And at least for me, at least right now, like I said, I hope to get better and more knowledgeable about the battle mode, and I'll probably enjoy it more. But right now, it's just like, it's the story, it's the characters. This is a really cool game.
This game has a lot of talking in it too.
Yeah, great voice acting though.
Everything is voiced over. I love that. It's not just a bunch of text you're reading and everything. Yeah. This isn't a Zelda game. But it does have a lot of talking. But the story's just kind of drawn me in a little bit, like you were saying.
Yeah,
I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I wonder if this doesn't have the most voice acting of any Nintendo game today. It would not surprise me at all.
Probably.
Yeah. Obviously, if you put that much time into it, you're enjoying it, right?
Oh, definitely. I'm having a great time with it. I'm really loving the characters. You do get really attached to the characters, I will say.
Right, yeah.
They're all very unique, too. So. Yeah.
Well, speaking of characters, let's go ahead and talk about the main character, your playable character. So, again, this game presents you with a lot of tough choices at the beginning. Casual or classic, hard or easy. And then they're like, hey, do you want your main character who's, canonical name is Byleth, but you can also change that to a name of your choosing. But do you want it to be a male or a female? And I'm just like, oh man, I'm just sitting there like, what do I choose? So I went with female. What about you guys?
I went with male.
Male. Okay, yes. So I'm the odd one out here.
And I did leave the name as Byleth. I didn't change it.
I did as well.
Yeah, I changed mine to my name. So.
What a loser.
So lame.
No, it's just my name didn't really go with the rest of the character names, so I went with Byleth. But yeah, it's a very strange name for sure.
Yeah.
So then you, a little bit into the game, you don't have to choose right away, but it's not long into the game, and you've got to choose one of the three houses. And again, this is another where I kind of get Harry Potter vibes. These houses are all kind of unique, have their own different styles and personalities, and it is very tough. It's a tough decision, just a little bit into this game, like, hey, I'm going to be stuck with one of these houses for a very long time. Which one do I choose? So
yeah.
Which one did you go with?
I went with the Blue Lions.
The Blue Lions, okay. That's head up by Dimitri, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good.
So I went with the Black Eagles.
I did as well.
Oh, very nice.
So two Black Eagles. Does anybody regret their choice?
Not at all.
Not at all.
So far, no, not okay. at all.
Y'all should.
Blue
Lions is what it's
As I've gotten further into it, I kind of wish I would have went with the Golden Deer.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of going based off the three main characters for each house, Edelgard, Dimitri, and Claude. And I didn't think I'd really like Claude, but when I kind of get to know him, he's pretty funny and they seem really laid back and chill. And
yeah.
I kind of wish I would have went with them.
Yeah, they were definitely my second option.
Yeah. At the same time, I'm really enjoying the Black Eagles, and I really do like their main character, Edelgard. She's really cool. So
it's really neat that they kind of get you to know the three house leaders before you have to make the choice. So
I was very happy with that.
Like you said, there are hard choices, so you get to know each one about the same, and you just have to pick one based off of the leader a little bit.
Yeah, and they all treat you really well up to the choosing, which they're really selling their house to you. So,
and I am glad though that even if you go with a different class, you can recruit some of the other students from other classes.
Yes, that's very cool. Because each house has seven characters, I think, something like that. Or eight. There's probably going to be, even if you love your house, there's probably going to be at least one or two characters that you're like, I kind of wish I had these others instead. And you can actually do that by doing activities with them, treating them well, talking to them, that kind of thing. You can actually recruit some people over. So that's really cool.
Mm.
So let's just go ahead and go on into kind of the characters. What are some of our favorite characters so far? Tristan, you're furthest into this. Who are you liking?
Well, of course I love my own team. So, Dimitri,
you would.
I enjoy them all in my class.
Okay.
I did recruit a couple other characters from out of my class. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, but it's like Dorothea. From the Black Eagles.
Okay.
I have recruited her. And Marianne, I think is what her name is.
Okay.
From the Golden Deer. I have recruited them into my class.
Okay. So are you able to just add those in addition to the eight, or do you have to swap out
No, they add on. So whoever whoever comes into your class, they just fill up your class.
Okay,
so,
good to know.
Of course, there is a limit to how many you can take in battle at once.
Okay.
But one thing I did find out later that you can partner them up, I guess, I forget what the term is, but you can basically attach another character onto another member that you're sending into the battle so that while that character that's on the battlefield is gaining XP, the one you partnered with them will also gain XP.
Oh, wow, that's awesome. So kind of like experience share in Pokemon.
So
Okay, cool.
That's one thing to think about, you know.
Definitely. Okay. So that's kind of... So you're just really a fan of the Blue Lions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all the way down. Okay, yeah. Cool. What about you, Chad?
So from the Black Eagle house, I have to say that I didn't think I would like him, but I actually like Ferdinand quite a bit.
Ferdinand, yeah.
Ferdinand,
he's the ladies' man?
Or
no, that may be someone else.
I can't remember on that part. I don't think so.
I could be wrong.
I think that's Sylvain of the Blue
Lions. People all look the same. Yeah, I think it is. I think it's Sylvain, bad. Yeah. So you're liking Ferdinand.
Ferdinand. Cool. At first he comes across, he's a noble, and he comes across kind of like a spoiled rich kid.
That's right. Yes,
A little bit.
Yes,
but on the battlefield, he's very tough, and he's impressed.
Very tough. Okay, cool.
And also, they're not even in any of the houses, but I like Byla's father, Geralt.
Yes, he's pretty cool.
I really like him. He's got some scars, so he's a tough guy, you know. He used to be a knight of Saros.
He's seen some things.
Yeah. He's taught me well, so.
cool. Yeah, and the Black Eagles, I'm really liking. I really like Edelgard.
Same here.
Even though he looks kind of creepy, I kind of like Hubert. He's willing to do the dirty work, kind of be her bodyguard. I don't know. He's kind of cool. Seems like he might have a past.
He's definitely different.
I really like Claude of the Golden Deer. Like, he's pretty funny. So, I really like him. And I also like Raphael on the Golden Deer. He's kind of just a big bruiser, can barely keep a shirt button kind of guy. Seems like he can handle the meals in the dining hall pretty easily. So, I like him.
Yeah, I definitely, if I do a second playthrough, which I actually might because I really enjoyed the game, I think I'll go with the Golden Deer just so I can spend time with more of those characters.
Major shade for the Black Eagles.
I'm not even going there.
A lot of the people that you talk to about the game have chosen Black Eagles, including us.
Yeah, everyone I know went with Black Eagles.
Okay.
I'm the only one who went with Blue Lions.
So you probably
Lions,
know
so.
Most of the story.
Yeah, I know a good bit from friends of what goes on with Black Eagles. So.
Okay. It would be really fascinating to know the split on who chooses which team overall. That'd be very interesting to know. My guess would be the Golden Deer would probably have the least people, even though I kind of wish I would have went with them.
I'm not sure. I think I've heard it was actually pretty popular. I think.
Really? Okay.
Huh. Last I heard, Blue Lions was kind of low.
Okay.
Nintendo sent out a survey and email asking which house you were going to choose before the game was released.
Oh, really?
And Black Eagles was at the top. I think Golden Deer was at 40% and Blue Lions was a little under that.
Yeah. So interesting.
I was kind of surprised by that. I mean, the Blue Lions really attracted me to that team, but I guess I'm in the minority on that.
You're a real underdog over there. Yeah.
I really like some of the other students in the Blue Lions. I'm just not a huge Dimitri fan.
Okay.
That's kind of the main reason.
Shots fired.
I like most of the other characters, though.
Yeah, Blue Lions and Black Eagles are a little more clashing teams, I think. But yeah.
Except, what about Felix? Is he as big a jerk as I think he probably would be?
a lot of these characters, some of them are kind of hard to befriend, really, in the game.
Yeah,
but
once
you start to know him, you can learn a lot from him.
Hubert's that way in the Black Eagles.
He's no nonsense. Leave him alone.
Yeah.
He's
not.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it's just really cool, though, that the fact that we're talking about a Nintendo game, which is not typically known for amazing storytelling and characters, as much as I love Nintendo, but the fact that we're all already attached to a bunch of these characters is a real, plus for this game, in my opinion. Like, I really genuinely care about a lot of these characters, and I'm not very far in. I think, if I get in as deep as you, I'm really going to care about these characters.
Yeah, you definitely get a strong attachment to them.
Cool. So, there are also, of course, there's the battling, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the standard Fire Emblem thing. But there's a whole lot of this game is about what you're doing when you're not battling. you know, it seems like you kind of, you go through a month between different battles or missions or stuff, it seems like to me. And there's lots of different, like, things you can do. So, first of all, you can just, like, explore the monastery, which, from what I can tell, is, like, an all-new thing for this game. You haven't really been able to do something like that. And it's a lot of fun. It's a pretty big area.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of space to move through.
Yeah, and so it's not just exploring. There's different things you can do. So there's, just to name a few, you can do some fishing, some gardening. You can, like, eat meals with students or faculty. There's, like, missions that you'll come across on. There's, like, bulletin boards around the monastery in different places. And, like, also just some of those, like, characters will have a mission for you. Mm-hmm. And so that's fun to do. And you get rewards for all this stuff and kind of level up. There's also amiibo support in this, and it has, like, the greatest name ever. It's a little gazebo, and they call it the Amiibo Gazebo, and I really like that.
It's the best name they ever made in any Nintendo
I agree
game.
It's like very out of place gazebo. But it's really cool. So Chad, I think you should get, as the guy with the most amiibos, you should get like an Amiibo Gazebo at your house.
I think yes. I should too. Right in the front yard of my house.
Exactly. Yeah. So no. Kind of what are the things we're enjoying most to do as far as activities?
I really enjoy just exploring, you know, around through
just
the,
like,
monastery.
Chatting everybody up.
Yes, there's a lot of things to do, even aside from just those tasks. Like, you can find items laying around on the ground that will be, like, missing items.
And
it'll give you kind of a hint on, like, a characteristic that it may belong to. And based off of that, you try to find who lost that item. And that's one way you can also increase friendship with people on there. Is by, like, hey, this is yours, right? And oh, yeah, how did you know? You know? So it really teaches you their characteristics and stuff.
Wow.
Like what they're,
it's kind of like an Animal Crossing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's really cool. I didn't know that. Like, so I'm not very far, so that's really cool to know that. Yeah. Chad, what about you?
Unlike the animal fishing and Animal Crossing, the fishing and Fire Emblem is not my favorite.
It's actually kind of like it's kind of rhythm based.
Yeah,
it's
like
rhythm,
is a little
trying to get the excellence is kind of neat.
Yeah.
What I enjoy the most so far is actually teaching the students and teaching.
Okay,
I really enjoy that. Just trying. Sometimes during a lesson, they'll ask you questions. You have to answer that question right to increase their friendship level or whatever we're increasing there.
Yes, I do like that. And then there's sometimes you'd get anonymous messages, and that's also another time where you try to guess what character that is and how should I answer that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. But that's some of my favorite thing through the week, and you have the little calendar. You'll see your little pixel character running across it and everything, showing you what day it is. But so far, I just love trying to get my students into trying to focus on skills that I want them to have on the battlefield and everything.
Yeah,
and I really enjoy doing that.
I do like how they added the thing where a lot of them have preferences on what kind of field of study they want to go into, but some of them may actually really excel at a certain skill that they're not aware of. So you can push them on that subject, and they can actually advance really well on that.
Right.
So.
Cool.
Yeah, they're always trying to, as I'm teaching them, they're always wanting to switch whatever I want them to learn.
But it's really cool. I do enjoy how much they put into this game with that.
For sure.
Yeah. So far, at least for me, I'm really just enjoying. I really like the little missions, even though they're pretty simple, but it's just like fun. I try to like always complete everyone I can before it's time for the next like mission.
Right.
And I've had a lot of fun with that. And some of these missions, but actually, I wouldn't even want to do them, or wouldn't want to spend the time to do them, because like they'll have you running all over this monastery.
Oh, yeah.
But the map on this game is really cool. So like you can like highlight any area, and it'll show you like who's in that area right now. So it's like really easy to find a character you're looking for. And then once you visit any area, you can then from the map fast travel there. Mm-hmm. So it's like, sometimes it's fun to like, you know, just explore and just kind of go through the deal. But if you're in a hurry, it's nice that you can actually get to where you need to go.
You're not just
constantly having to run from one end to the other. So I think that's implemented really well in this game.
I will say you can run pretty fast in this game.
Oh yeah, and there's a run button. It's legit. You can like book it.
I mean,
that's really cool. Yeah, That is a pretty nice touch. And you mentioned it before, like the little on the calendar, but also on the loading screen, you've got like a little pixelized version of your character, and you can kind of like hop them along.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is a really polished game, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of, do you remember from the first Splatoon game on Wii U, you could play the little squid jump on the gamepad while you're waiting?
Yes, that was awesome.
I miss that.
I love like demo games or something to keep you from just watching the loading bar.
Right.
It's awesome. Yeah, so let's go ahead and talk about the battle. So how are we liking the battling so far? Like right now I'm like feeling very inadequate and like stupid about it, but I'm sure y'all are a lot further in, so what do y'all think?
I really enjoy it. I've played a lot of strategy games, so it's really right down my alley on game style. But yeah, it doesn't tell you too much on what to do when you start. There's a bunch of little features that you don't even know about for a lot of it. But it is, luckily, since I play a lot of strategies, I've caught on. Some people, if you're not really into strategy, it may be good to kind of look over a little tutorial on YouTube or something.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm going to have to do.
Yeah. The only game I can really compare this to is recently Mario Rabbids.
Yeah.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. And so far, I like this much better than Mario Rabbids.
Do you? Okay, so you're into the battle.
I am. So far, cool. Yeah, I really do like it.
Okay, awesome.
What do you think about it?
I just need to get better at it because I'm just like petrified. I don't know where to place people.
Yeah, I have trouble with that.
It's just because I just, I haven't really played anything like this before. So, like we've said, this game is very long just for one playthrough through one house, probably around 80-ish hours. Mm-hmm. Do we see ourselves sticking with this, or are we probably going to fall off? I mean, sounds like you're probably for sure going to stick with it as far as you've gotten.
Tristan. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it myself. Yeah. Like I said, I may even try going through the Golden Deer afterward, just so I can get more into the story and stuff. Because really, picking between the houses does really change the game up a bit.
What I've heard. That's really cool.
Even just beyond the characters you interact with, there's a little bit more story change later on.
That's cool. Yeah, it's awesome.
Very cool. Only 4 hours in, to think I have another 76 is a little rough to think about.
Yeah.
But if the story keeps my attention like it has been, because like I said, I just look forward to playing it every day, I definitely plan on sticking with it if I can make it that long.
I'm definitely going to stick with it, longer than I have, for sure. It's not like a cadence of Hyrule Door. It's like I played it once, and I'm like, I may never play this again.
Yeah.
Like, I am really enjoying it, so I'm going to try to stick with it. I have no idea if I'll make it through the whole thing, but I am really enjoying it. I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would, and it really, for now at least, it comes down to just like the story and the characters and just how polished the game is. It's really cool. And the voice acting is a huge part to me, because if I just had to read through all this, it wouldn't be near as enjoyable.
But no,
it seems like everything's just really well done, great presentation. So I'm planning on sticking with it.
Good deal. It's probably my favorite game this year so far.
Yeah.
So
on top of the 80-hour campaign, looks like there is like a downloadable content coming for this game. There's like a whole pass you can buy. I'll probably wait and see how much I really stick with it. But, it is cool. If you are looking for more, there's definitely more coming. So,
right. Yeah, I'm saying if I can make it to the end and I'm wanting more, I'd definitely be interested in the DLC or just restarting the game on another house.
Yeah,
I believe the DLC is $24.99.
I think so. Yeah. Several waves of stuff. I think right now you can get like a different outfit for the main character that you can download right now. But I think the first wave is not coming for a little while still.
Right. I think I even saw it. The last wave goes into 2020.
Yeah. Wave. So I think it's going to be very similar to Smash Brothers in that, hey, you're going to get something new every like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But who knows? I may end up picking it up, but definitely not anything I think I need to purchase right away.
No,
kind of like I did with the Smash Brothers. I'm going to hold off on this one.
Yeah, and I forgot it was even a thing, so I'm going to have to look into what it comes with, like what comes in it. So
yeah. So I mean, that's pretty much it. But I mean, the floor is open if anybody has any final thoughts about Fire Emblem.
I think I said most everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So we're really digging it. I think it's really cool. And it's just finding time to play it is really the thing, because I do want to play it. It's just trying to find the time. But definitely enjoying it so far.
Oh, yeah. Lots of fun.
Awesome. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Some quick housekeeping. We want to remind everyone to visit our show page. It's at anchor.fm/KareboShoePodcast. We're available on any of the popular podcast apps. If you enjoy the show, please rate us on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts. You can email questions or comments to the show at KareboShoePodcast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at KareboShoePod. We're on Instagram at KareboShoePodcast. And we're on Facebook at Facebook.com/KareboShoePodcast. We want to thank our special guest, Tristan, a.k.a. Cooper Cosmic, for coming on.
Thanks,
and please go to his channel, Cooper Cosmic, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And I think he's on at least Twitter and Instagram at Cooper Cosmic.
Yes. Subscribe for random videos every other month.
Like and subscribe. Really helps him out. Yeah, he's got mostly Nintendo focused. And they're, you know, go to him for all your Amiibo unboxings and stuff like that.
Indeed.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks again for coming on. And thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll see you guys next time.